Well, this is the morning of miraculous births, so let's listen to another one. As Maggie was telling you the story, this is in the first chapter of Luke, and I hope as Maggie has been encouraging you, or you are reading those first couple of chapters, just a little background. If you started reading the book, you start reading in Luke, and Luke starts very academic. He says, I'm going to tell you a very academic story about the birth of Jesus because people have been asking about it. And you think, oh, this is going to be logical and academic. And then all of a sudden we get this amazing story about Zechariah. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to the commandments and regulations of the Lord, but they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and both were getting on in years. Once, when he was serving as a priest before God and his section was on duty, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and offer incense. Now, at that time, the incense offering, the whole assembly was praying outside, and then there appeared to Zechariah an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar and of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was terrified, and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said, as seems to be what most angels say when they appear, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you will name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of God. He must never drink wine or strong drink, and even before his birth he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn away the people of Israel to the Lord their God. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready the people preparing for the Lord." Zechariah looked at the angel and said, "How will this be so? For I am an old man, and my wife is getting on in years." And the angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand before you in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. But now, because you do not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak until these things occur." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah outside, and they wondered at his delay in the sanctuary. And when he did come out, he could not speak to them. And they realized, as he tried to tell them with his hands what he'd seen, that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary, and he came out motioning to them, unable to speak. And when his time of service was ended, he went home. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth did conceive. And for 5 months she remained in seclusion. She said, "This is what the Lord has done for me. And when God looked favorably on me and took away the disgrace I have endured amongst my people." For the word of Lord God in Scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us. Thanks be to God. I looked at the calendar last week and I thought, oh, here we go again. It's Advent already. Wasn't it just yesterday that we were trying to plan Advent services for last year's Christmas? Somehow as I get older, the years just seem to fly by. Is it Advent again already? You've got to be kidding me. I was thinking back to when I was a child and how I eagerly anticipated each Christmas. And I thought Advent would just never get here. And then after that first Sunday, you had to wait 4 long weeks between Advent, Thanksgiving and Christmas. And then when Christmas was finally over, I thought, oh, how can I possibly wait a whole nother year until this wonderful season happens again? But now I'm old, all these Advents, it's just old hat. I've done this so many times. It's just the same old once again. It's Advent, Schmadvent. Been there, done that. It's really kind of hard to get excited about it again. And that's a real problem for us, especially us sort of faithful churchgoers. It's hard to get excited about anything we do really regarding our faith. We come to church almost every week. We see the same people. We sing the same old songs. We say some prayers. We hear a sermon. We drink some coffee and we go home. No big deal. But Zechariah, he's here to tell us it is a big deal. Zechariah was a priest in the Temple of Jerusalem, as Maggie told you. Now, this may sound like it was really important, but he was one of at least 7,000 priests, so his duties were rather limited. Scripture tells us that he and his wife Elizabeth were faithful, righteous before God, living blamelessly according to the commandments. They were regular temple goers, a lot like you and me. But this day turned out to be rather special for Zechariah. The temple back then was a very different place of worship than we are used to. It had three distinct areas. The first area, sort of the outer courtyard, was the area for the merchants and the place for the common folks to come worship. And they sold animals to be sacrificed. It was the place where Jesus turned over those tables, you remember. And it was always crowded on the Sabbath and particularly at holy times of year with the crowds of people. And then inside that area was a special area that was just for priests. Yes, it was a special area, but as I said, there were 7,000 priests, so even it was kind of crowded, and it was not that big a deal, and Zechariah had been there often. But finally, at the very inner core of the temple was that inner sanctum, the Holy of Holies. This is where they kept the Ark of the Covenant, supposedly, and it was considered to be the very home of God. It was where God lived. And only very special priests selected by lot could enter there only once a year to offer sacrifices and check to make sure that everything was okay. The priest would enter into the actual presence of God. The others were so concerned about this priest's safety, being that close to God, that it said they even tied a rope around his legs so that if he didn't come back out, they could pull out his smitten body. And this year, when they drew that name out of the hat, Zechariah was chosen to be that person. Now, this was an amazing kind of once-in-a-lifetime experience for Zechariah, but even so, he didn't have much expectations. He was excited to be chosen, but he had seen this happen dozens of times, each year, right on schedule. The priest would get chosen, go in, offer the sacrifices, come back out, and nothing untold would happen. That's what Zechariah was sure was going to happen for him. It's not unlike you and I today with our Advent and Christmas experience. We love and we appreciate the joy of the amazing birth of Christ at Christmas time, but we've seen it many times, and it's kind of always the same. The birth is foretold, we wait 4 weeks, the baby's born, put it in a manger, the angels sing, the shepherds walk up, a few days later the wise men bring their gifts, and then the little drummer boy plays. Oh, maybe not that last one. It's wonderful and all, but it's what we expect. No big deal. This is true for Zechariah too. He's honored, but he's not expecting all that much. He gets dressed in his finest. He prepares his incense. He has the rope tied around his leg, and slowly he enters the Holy of Holies. And he looks around at this golden, beautiful place. And he begins preparing to do the incense as he stands in amazement. But then, something happens that he didn't think would happen. He's working at the altar, and right beside him, this glowing light appears. What's that? And then, an angel appears. He looks again, and he blinks, and he thinks he's seeing an hallucination, and he's terrified. And then this angel calls him by name, Zechariah. And then the angel tells him that his prayers will be answered. He and his wife Elizabeth are going to have a child, and that child will prepare the way of the coming of the Lord. Now, wait a minute. This was a special honor and all, but Zechariah was not expecting the friendly angel to appear and answer his prayers for a child, much less the coming of the Messiah. After all, this was just an ordinary community ritual carried out annually, right on schedule. And besides, old Zach and Liz were pretty up in their age, in their 70s at least, much beyond childbearing age. What exactly was going on here? This had to be a joke. Zechariah responds with disbelief to the angel. You've got to be kidding me. It's not unlike those angels that appeared to Abraham and Sarah. They would have a child when they were both supposedly past 100 years old, and Sarah just dies laughing in the tent. But Zechariah, he's standing in the Holy of Holies, in the very presence of the God, and he says, you've got to be kidding me? The angel takes a bit of offense at this upstart doubt. He stands tall and he responds, now listen here. I am the angel Gabriel, and I have been sent to you, Zechariah, to bring this good news to you. How dare you disbelieve? Okay, folks, here we are, the first Sunday of Advent. We are about to enter the Holy of Holies, the season of Advent. We've been decorating our houses with all of our Christmas finery. We've entered this season again, and like Zechariah, we walk into Advent. We are preparing all of our annual rituals. We light our candle and we do all those things we're supposed to do. And we do stand in awe of the poinsettias and the decorations and the Embarcadero lights. And we look at the beauty and wonder of this season. But like Zechariah, are we really expecting anything? Will anything be any different? Is the angel Gabriel really going to come and call us by name? I'm reminded of a story I read about of a pastor in a small Midwestern farm community who called his congregation to the church for prayer last summer in the middle of that three-month drought when all the crops were drying up. After weeks of scorching sun and no rain, the corn was just dying in the field, and the pastor announced a special prayer for the whole congregation to come together to pray intently for rain. And during the hundreds of people came to the congregation, and they were all hoping and praying that God would give them rain. And during the opening hymn, the pastor walked out and walked down into the congregation and went out into the narthex and came back looking around at all of the people gathered. And then after the hymn, he got up and he announced, okay, all of you go home. So the congregation looked kind of puzzled. Started to get up and started to go home, and then one farmer yelled out, hey, wait a minute, what's going on? Aren't you even going to pray? Did you give up on God? And the pastor looked at the congregation and said, no, but you did. Not a single one of you brought an umbrella. This Advent, well, on this day we brought our umbrellas, but are you bringing your umbrella for Advent? Or are we more like Zechariah? We're preparing for the season. We're doing our rituals, but we're doing them without any real expectation. What would happen
if an angel did appear, if a miracle did occur, would we even believe it? Would we even believe, notice it, that it was happening? I've become kind of convinced that in our cynical modern age, the angel Gabriel does appear. The angel does bring us great good news, but we don't even see it. And if we do see it, we say, oh, you've got to be kidding me. It might happen. It might happen in some big grand miracle, an unexpected healing after a terminal diagnosis, the miraculous end of years of war and turmoil in a country, a good job after years of searching and being unemployed, a new good place to live after your home being foreclosed, or maybe just finding $50 on the sidewalk when we leave today. But Gabriel is more likely to bring that good news in a more subtle way that requires us to see. Maybe it's just a smile from a stranger when I've had a really bad day. Maybe it's our community dinner and hundreds being fed on a rainy night. Maybe it's piles of gifts delivered for the Larkin Street Center next week. Maybe, like we keep seeing today, it's a stab of sunshine through that cloudy sky. Maybe a lost friend that you haven't heard from in years just calls you one day. Or maybe an ordinary baby is born in humble circumstances, and that baby turns out to be the Savior of the world. So this Advent, I ask us to walk into that Holy of Holies with Zechariah. Let's enter the season as he entered that place. And this time, let's expect something to happen. Let's keep our eyes open. Let's keep our hearts and minds ready for the possibilities. Let's be on the lookout for the angel Gabriel. Let's be this Advent on angel watch. And then, maybe, just maybe, in the midst of this holy yet ordinary annual season, a miracle will happen. It might not be grand and unbelievable, but it will be good news. Great good news. After all, we just sang, O come, Emmanuel. Come, thou long-expected Jesus. This year, let us really expect that long-expected Jesus. This year, this Advent, let us believe. Amen.